everything that we do now is in some way built on what came before us. This is simply part of being human, part of living in time. And so when Jesus, who is God, entered into time, he also built on what came before. When new things come along, it takes time for us to absorb them or adjust to them. Lately, there's a lot of talk about the development of AI reaching some kind of revolutionary stage, major development. Maybe so. I don't know much about that. Maybe we will have to make big adjustments, new changes. But nothing can compare with the big changes that Jesus introduced into the world. The real revolution was when Jesus came, took on sin and death, and defeated them. So his victory over death is the biggest revolution. There's nothing that can compare to it. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus launched a kind of spiritual revolution. And we haven't adjusted to it yet. The enormous implications of Jesus' teaching are still sinking in. To this day, we're still getting it. We've been reading from the Sermon on the Mount for the past two Sundays. And this morning we just heard a long selection from the Sermon on the Mount. In this section, Jesus is not coming up with something entirely new. He's building on what came before. And he, in fact, he explicitly said at the very beginning, he said he has not come to abolish the law and the prophets. No, he has come to fulfill them, to improve them, to build upon them, to take them to a higher level. He's building on what came before, especially in this section, the building on the Ten Commandments. Four times in this gospel that we just heard, Jesus says something like, you have heard it said, or you have heard that it was taught. In three of the four examples, he's referring to one of the Ten Commandments. You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not bear false witness. Or in this version, you shall not take a false oath. That's false witness. Well, what he does here is he refers to the commandments and then builds on them. As if to say, this is the commandment that you were taught, but I say to you this additional thing, this greater understanding of what you have already heard. Now, in our times, there's a little problem with this method because some people don't know the commandments. So when Jesus says, you have heard it said, there are people who have not heard it said. They don't know the commandments. I hope everyone here knows the commandments. People who don't know the commandments are at a huge disadvantage. So some people don't know the commandments. Some people just claim they don't know because really the commandments are written in our hearts. They're so basic. Even worse, there are people who reject the idea that there should be commandments at all. They say, who wants commandments? Who needs commandments? We don't want anyone telling us what to do or what we can't do. We'll do what we want. We're free. I'm sure you've heard some version of that, maybe even in your own heart or from your children. I'll do what I want. I'm free. Behind this modern rejection of the idea of commandments is a wrong understanding of the role of law and a wrong understanding of freedom itself. People who think that freedom is doing whatever I want end up being slaves. Slaves of their own passions, slaves of their own disorders, their own disordered desires. They get trapped in patterns of behavior that they can't break out of. Addictions are the most obvious example of this. Sure, you can drink as much as you want. You can drink whenever you want. You're free. But where does that lead you? To addiction, to a trap. Sure, you can gamble as much as you want. You can play video games as much as you want. Shop as much as you want. Watch YouTube as much as you want. You're free. But where does it lead you? Trapped in patterns of behavior and miserable. People who are caught in these traps are miserable. They're not happy and they're not free. Now, God wants us to be happy. That's why he gives us commandments. He wants to guide us into the way of true freedom, which requires strength and discipline to say no to temptation and sin, to say no to the trap of sin. That's why the psalm response which we sang this morning says, "Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord." Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. It's not a bad thing to follow the law of the Lord. It's a good thing. So we have to get beyond this wrong idea about rules or about commandments or about laws that guide our behavior. I sometimes meet parents who have this wrong idea. They think that if they make rules for their children, well then, if they set some norms for the behavior of their children, well then the children will be traumatized somehow, or they will suffer from it. They won't be free. They won't be able to decide for themselves, and they'll grow up hating their parents. No, the opposite is true. When children grow up without any guidance, without any discipline, without any norm, without knowing that they have to submit to some higher order, then they're not free. They're not free to grow. They don't learn to love. And they're locked in immaturity. So parents need to set standards for their children, just as God, our Father, sets standards for us, his children. That's the pattern we follow, God. Yes, some people hate God and some people hate their parents, but that's the disorder. No, we love God and we love that he has given us guidance for our lives. Anyway, let's turn to Jesus here. Jesus, who gives us a great gift and a great challenge in the Sermon on the Mount. He calls us to live by a higher standard than, it's inspired by the Ten Commandments, but it's new. It's a new law of love. It's better, not worse, but it's also harder. It's more challenging. It calls for more from us. Now, there's many things he said in this gospel. I'll just pick out two of the examples he gives, two of the big ones, murder and adultery. He says, yes, you shall not commit murder or adultery. Yes, that's basic. That's a good start. But it's still only a beginning. It's only a foundation. It's not enough to get into the kingdom of heaven simply to avoid murder and adultery. If there's anybody here killing people or committing adultery, the first thing is stop that. Immediately stop that. You're not only destroying people and destroying marriages and destroying families, you're destroying yourself. These grave sins destroy the sinner. Anybody who's committing murder or adultery is destroying himself and will not be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus says, unless he or she repents. Repentance changes everything. Anyway, let's go further, because Jesus says something further. In the case of murder, he says not only murder, but anger. Holding anger in one's heart is the problem. Now, this is a new thing. This is much further. Another matter, we might not ever pull out a gun or a knife or something to kill someone, but we can easily fall into the sin of destroying other people with our thoughts, with our words, with our anger. Relationships are destroyed not usually by physical weapons, usually by harsh words and by distance and by judgment and by resentment and by refusal to forgive. Wrong use of anger. So watch out for all these common traps and repent of them. In the case of adultery, the other example I'm going to pick out here, Jesus says not only adultery, but lustful looks. It's another matter altogether. This is what he calls adultery in the heart. We live in a society that is flooded with invitations to lustful looks and thoughts. This is one of the terrible uses of the internet and of the social media. It constantly exposes people, and young people are especially vulnerable to this. It exposes people to the idea that other people can be used for our pleasure. No, that is not love. That is not love. That's lust. That's adultery in the heart. And Jesus is quite strong about this. You might have noticed it in the reading. He says, whatever causes you to sin, cut it off. He's very strong. He says, cut off your hand, tear out your eye. He doesn't mean literally cut off your hand or tear out your eye. That's symbolic language, but it's a strong symbol. He does mean be ruthless in cutting off whatever leads to sin. Delete those apps that lead to sin. Block those contact numbers that lead to sin. Delete those images or links or programs. Throw away those paperback novels or magazines or whatever. Throw away, cut off, tear out anything that leads to sin. Now remember, the goal here is not simply to be deprived of what we want or what we like. The goal here is not to sit alone in a dark room doing nothing. The goal here is true freedom, true happiness, a life of truth and love. The goal is the kingdom of heaven. It's a very positive goal, so don't get distracted by the negative description of what it takes to get there. Keep your mind on the goal. The Ten Commandments, and especially the new law of love that Jesus teaches us, is not all about restrictions and prohibitions. God is not interested in making us bored and depressed and unhappy. He wants us to be free to love, because that's what makes us happy. And love demands fighting against whatever makes us selfish and proud and angry and lustful and rebellious and ungrateful and immature. We have to fight against all those things. Now, since today's gospel brings up this battle of the spiritual life and calls us to do more and to be greater and to live by a higher law, we welcome the coming of the holy season of Lent. You know it starts this week. Ash Wednesday is this week, the beginning of Lent. Lent is a great opportunity to get back in shape spiritually, to improve our practice of our Christian life. Yes, it takes effort. It takes decision and perseverance. It involves prayer and fasting and being more concerned about other people than about ourselves. But this is exactly what we need. This is exactly the remedy for our weakened spiritual condition. So let's make the most of this grace-filled time that starts this week, Lent, because when we decide again to turn away from sin and follow the law of the Lord, that's the path to blessedness, to happiness. As the psalm said, blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord.